I'm going to read a passage of Scripture in just a moment. I'm just going to read one verse. I noticed as we sang this morning, we started out with Mr. Brumley's song, Jesus Hold My Hand. Is that right? And it says, as I travel through this pilgrim land. And then this last song, we talked about our journey as we've been traveling. And I thought, boys, that connects up with what I'm going to talk about today. My lesson is entitled, Three Jewish Pilgrim Festivals with Significance. And those three festivals are the Feast of the Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, a pilgrim, the Jewish people, they were encouraged to travel to the place of worship three times a year. Every male 12 years old and upward was to go. And so every year they took three times a year, they went on a pilgrimage. And aren't we on a pilgrimage? Amen. I thought about the book, Pilgrim's Progress. Been a long time since I read it, but I thought about it last night. And Pilgrim, he was on a journey from the city of destruction to the celestial city. Amen. I am too.
Amen.
Some sweet day, I'll reach that land. So I want to read this passage of Scripture. It's found in Deuteronomy 16 and 16. And it says, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. In the feast of the unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, which is Pentecost, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. So that's the basis. That's where my thought come from. I was reading in the Scriptures one day, and I read that, and it jumped out at me. And so I'm going to try to expound on this morning, and I do want you to pray for me. If there's anything I have learned in my lifetime, it is this. We need the help of God.
Amen.
Especially in handling the Word of God.
Amen.
We need His help, so please help for me. Pray for me. The three festivals, as I said, that I want to discuss with you today are the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. These are generally understood to be the most important of all the Jewish feasts. And they are listed in the order of their importance. I believe of the three, the Feast of the Passover is the most important.
Amen.
And next is the Feast of Pentecost. And then the Feast of Tabernacles. So these feasts, they had a purpose. They were joyous occasions. They were to rejoice during the time of these feasts. And the feasts, as I said, are called pilgrim festivals because the people had to travel to get to the location for the feast. And in the word pictures of the New Testament, a Greek scholar, he said that when in those days when a boy reached 12 years old, that he became a son of the law. That is, he became obligated to obey and fulfill the law. And I believe that to be the truth, because we have written in the New Testament that Jesus went up to the temple to the feast when he was 12 years old. And he got separated from his parents some way, and they began to look for him. And when they found him, he was sitting with the rulers, with the scholars, the learned people, discussing the Word of God.
Amen.
Mary said to him, "Jesus, why did you do this to us?" And he said, "Don't you know I must be about my Father's business?"
Amen.
So at 12 years old, Jesus set the example, didn't he?
Yes, sir. Amen.
I believe that he did. And some people used to believe, I don't know whether anybody does now or not, but you had to be 12 years old before you could get saved. I've heard that argument, but it's not true.
Amen.
You know how I know? I got saved at 11. So, I know that's not true. All right. I use the term with significance. These festivals, there was a reason for them. They taught lessons that were important. And the Feast of the Passover, the term significant, with significance, means being worthy of attention. There's something to learn from each one of these feast that was observed before Jesus came to this world. They were a part of the Hebrew culture. They served as reminders of what God had done for them. And also, these feasts were part of the religious lifestyle. And also, they were ancient landmarks of their faith. I think that we have some landmarks of our faith today.
Amen.
And we need to observe them.
Yes,
and we need to observe them with joy.
Yes.
These ancient landmarks, they marked the anniversaries of many victories that they had experienced in their national history. Now, Israel was admonished, "Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set." And that means don't neglect them. Don't stop observing them. Be faithful to them. And it's my earnest prayer today that We will never abandon the ancient landmarks of the old-time religion.
Amen.
There's new methods being used today in evangelism and in different types of worship and so on. But I tell you, the old-time religion is good enough for me.
Amen.
And I hope and pray that as long as time lasts, that we'll be faithful to the old-time religion. Now, all of you know the recorded facts about the Feast of Pentecost. It's very, very easy to understand them. And we understand the clear purpose of those observances, what they practiced at the Feast of the Passover. And the Bible tells us that Israel was in bondage. And I'll have to just go over this briefly because I won't have time to finish if I don't. But they were slaves in Egypt. And their life was hard. They were suffering. And they cried out to God. And God heard their cry. And he gave Moses instructions as to what to do. And he gave to him a plan that would set them free. And that plan illustrates the plan of redemption. And this plan of redemption was already in place. The plan was determined before the world began. And all of you know in the second chapter of Acts how Peter explained about the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, and how that Jesus was selected. In fact, Jesus volunteered for the job.
Amen.
To come to this world and redeem fallen man. And so the plan was determined before the world began. The plan to deliver sinners from the bondage of sin. Now this was the amazing grace plan. Now you think about that statement for a minute. It was the amazing grace plan. And they had access by faith. You know, when they observed the Passover, they did it by faith. They had to have faith in God and in the promise of God in order to carry out the plan. And they did. Now, here's the plan. A perfect lamb had to be killed. His blood had to be applied to the doorpost and lintel of the door where the slave lived. And the Lord said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." And so that was the plan of human redemption given in advance and in such a way that we could understand it and they could understand it. Now you might ask me how I know that represented the plan of salvation. Over in the book of the Revelation, you know, John was on the Isle of Patmos, and he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and Jesus appeared unto him, and Jesus said, I have some messages I want you to send to the churches of Asia Minor. And so he gave those messages to him. But in the fourth and fifth chapters of the book of Revelations, John was permitted to see a vision. Heaven was opened, and he saw one sitting upon the throne, and he had a book in his hand. And the inquiry was made, who will take the book and open it and loose the seals? And there was no man found worthy. Could not do that. Impossible. It was sealed with seven seals. And so John said, I began to weep. And I can understand that. Can you imagine a world full of sinners with no plan to redeem them from sin? They were not able to redeem themselves, but the Bible said that they searched through heaven, and they searched the earth, and they searched beneath the earth, and there was no man worthy to take the book, to loose the seals, and to look thereupon. He wept. We still ought to weep over lost souls, you know. It should get close to our hearts. But anyway, there was one that came and said, John, weep not. Said, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed.
Amen.
To take the book, to loose the seals, and to look thereupon. And John said, I looked, and in the midst of the 24 elders, he said that there stood a lamb as it had been slain. It had been killed, but it wasn't dead any longer.
Amen.
And that was a picture of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus was crucified. I mean, he was dead. The Roman soldier, they sent him to the gravesite or the crucifixion site to make sure that he was dead. And when he got there, he found that he was dead. And to ensure that, he took his spear and he run it up through his stomach and into his side, and forthwith came blood and water. And that guard went back and he said, he's dead. Are you sure? Oh yeah, I'm sure. I made sure, you know. And so Jesus was buried, but he didn't stay buried. Early in the morning on the first day of the week, he came out of the grave. And he lives. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Now this feast of the Passover was actually a picture of that. It was a type of that. The plan of human redemption. Jesus is called the Lamb of God. John saw Jesus. He was baptizing near the Jordan River, or he was near the Jordan River, and he saw Jesus coming. And he pointed him out. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And so the events of that Passover represented redemption for Israel. And believe me, Herod turned them loose and he was glad to get rid of them. And then he changed his mind, said, I'm going to go get them. But God had the last word, didn't he? Pharaoh and his army attempted to follow them through the Red Sea, and the sea closed in upon them, and they were drowned. The horse and his rider was drowned in the sea. So that's a picture of the plan of human redemption, and it's ever bit by grace. Amen. Ever bit by grace. It's not a person that's ever been saved by works. It's all of grace. So I have to move on. I want to go now to the Feast of Pentecost. You know, Jesus, after he had risen from the dead, before he ascended back to heaven, he said to the disciples, he said, now you tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. And he said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. You know, 24th chapter of the book of Luke. And so they went back to the upper room. That was their meeting place. And they were praying. The Bible says, and I might say this before I get into that, the Feast of Pentecost was also known as the Feast of Harvest. It was also known as the Feast of the First Fruits. And it was also known as the Feast of Weeks because it took place 50 weeks after, or 50 days, 7 weeks after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so it occurred and it was celebrated with reference to the harvest, that is the Feast of Pentecost, was with reference to the harvest of the first fruits of the new crops in the spring of the year, the early spring or early summer. And they celebrated that. And the celebration was 50 days after the Feast of Passover. So in the New Testament, the day of Pentecost, and I'm going to repeat myself if I'm not careful, in obedience to the words of Jesus, they had tarried in Jerusalem. And they were waiting for the fulfillment of the promise. And that the fulfillment of that promise was Holy Ghost power.
Amen.
I like Holy Ghost power.
Amen.
The church was assembled in the upper room.
Amen.
They were with one accord. They were praying and waiting on God. I've been in services like that. I've been in church services, revival meetings, when God's people were in one accord. And they were praying and they were waiting on the Lord. And suddenly, the scriptures say, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the place where they were sitting. You know, sometimes services are cold, you know, nothing happening. But people get one mind and one accord and get to praying and expecting, praying in faith, believing. And all of a sudden, you don't know where it come from, but there was the mighty power of God.
Amen.
And it affects people.
Amen.
It affects lost people.
Yes.
It affects hard-hearted people.
Amen.
People that all their lives have rejected the gospel. Well, tears will begin to flow down their face. And they'll bow that high, stubborn head, you know. And you can see of the power of God moving upon them. And I've seen that a few times, not as many as I'd like to. I'd like to see that this morning. There was a multitude of people in Jerusalem. They had come for the Feast of Pentecost. Or they came for the Feast of the Passover, and they had remained in Jerusalem. People out of every nation of the then known world were there. And the preachers, Peter and others, began to preach. All of them were Galileans. But all these people that were there from all of these different countries that spoke different languages were hearing the gospel in their native language.
Amen.
The language in which they were born.
That's right.
And they began to cry out and say, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And that day they experienced a great revival, a great meeting. All the speakers were Galileans, the listeners hearing their native language. It wasn't unknown tongues.
Amen.
It wasn't unknown tongues. And they were all amazed, it said. And Peter preached, and we have a record of what he preached. He preached Jesus.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? No, it isn't amazing. It's God's plan.
Amen.
God's plan. There is no other name given under heaven or among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
If anybody gets saved, it'll be through the sacrifice that Jesus made.
Amen.
Because he became the propitiation for our sins.
Amen.
He is the only one that could make a sacrifice that God would accept.
Amen.
And the reason God accepted his sacrifice, he was perfect. And all the rest of us are sinners. Now, the Feast of Pentecost, there's 3,000, perhaps more than 3,000 that got saved. They got saved. And this is what Peter told them. "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And still that way. It's still that way. And that was the Feast of Pentecost. It was the Feast of Harvest. What a harvest. The Feast of Ingathering. We sang a song, "Gathering in the Sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, gathering in the sheaves." It says that they that gladly received his word were baptized. And they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now listen. And they continued steadfastly.
Amen.
You know, A lot of people make professions.
Yes.
And you never see them again.
Right.
You know. Get baptized. Become a member of the church. Never do a thing in the world for the church. Something wrong.
Amen.
I believe that when you get saved, God puts a desire in your heart to serve Him.
Amen.
And so, the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. And this was an example. This was an example of the amazing grace of God. Wasn't it? In the new dispensation. It wasn't because of the law, but it's because of grace. Now, I'm going to get to this last feast here just for a little bit. The Feast of Tabernacles. It was also known as the Feast of Booths. And also the Feast of Ingathering. Pentecost was the ingathering of the early crops. And the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths was the ingathering of the last crops, the last harvest of the year. It was celebrated in the fall. It was also a Thanksgiving celebration. Thanksgiving for the bountiful harvest for the corn. And of course they didn't have corn. It was oats and barley and wheat. They called it corn. And the wine, the harvest of the grapes. And the olives, they were all gathered in. And they rejoiced because of this great harvest that they had experienced. Now during the Feast of Tabernacles, these pilgrim Jews that had come there for that, they set up booths and tents and lived in them during that festival, that harvest, that feast. And they did that to commemorate the 40 years that their ancestors wandered in the wilderness. Now, I'm going to call your attention to the Gospel of John for the last part of my lesson. In the Gospel of John, chapter 7. It said, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. And his brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go to Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. I believe, you know, they envied him. His own half-brothers, they envied him. I believe that they tried to get him to go up there hoping that the Jews would kill him. Now, I could be wrong about that. I don't want to make any false accusations. But they wanted him to go to this feast for some reason. And they said, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known. If thou doest these things, show thyself to the world. And they were still unbelievers at this time, in my opinion. For neither did his brethren, believe in him. So they went on up to the feast, and Jesus stayed behind. And then 4 days later, Jesus decided he'd go up to the feast. And he went. And this is in verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How knowest this man letters, having never learned?" Now, they wasn't talking about the ABCs. They was talking about the Old Testament books of the Bible. How does he know anything about these books? They marveled at that. And Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not my doctrine, but his that sent me. And if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him." I don't think I read that right. "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness in him." So Jesus went to the temple, and he was teaching. And I'm going to find my place here. I guess I'm on the next page, maybe. In closing, the last day of the feast, actually this was the eighth day. The feast ran through Sunday through Saturday. And then they had another Sabbath day following, and it was on that Sabbath day that this took place. We find that in Leviticus 23:39. So Jesus had been at the feast for 4 days. He went in the midst of the feast. And he had reasoned with the Jews. That was his style. He reasoned. And the Bible says, "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And so he had talked with them about who he was and where he had come from, who had sent him. And he explained that the doctrine that he was preaching was not his own, but it was his Father's doctrine. And it was in the midst of these Jewish leaders. And he knew the feast had come to a close. This was going to be his last opportunity to speak to these people, these pilgrims. So he made what you and I might call an altar call. There's more than one of these in the New Testament. But this is what the Bible says. It's in John chapter 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come to me Let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. This he spake of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. So these three feasts, they were important to the Hebrew people. And they prefigured what Jesus was going to do when he came into the world. Those feasts were observed for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. They was to do it three times a year. No matter where they lived, they were to make that journey and observe those feasts. And it's somewhat amazing to me that they continued to do that from the days of Moses all the way up until the days of Jesus. And the lesson in all of that was that God was going to provide redemption for them. Salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is still making the invitation today. I'm not going to make an invitation today. Every one of us that profess to be preachers, we better have the call.
Amen.
Better have the call. Now, I've done the best I could. And Brother Curtis, I'm going to loan you 3 minutes and 40 seconds. Okay. You all pray for me. I need your prayers. I know I'm not worth much anymore. I know that. But I tell you, I still got some fire in my bones. I still got a little fire in my bones. I'm not looking for a place to quit. I don't want to quit. I don't want to quit. May God bless you. I love all of you. And thank you for being patient with me this morning.